of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read the first four verses. I want you to follow along with me. 2 Timothy 2. Paul, writing here, writes, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And let's pray. Father, thank you for these blessed words that you've had recorded for us. Thank you for the truths that are contained in them. And Lord, there's a need for us to see the truths, to hear them, to not just hear them with our ears, but with our heart. And Lord, that we would be submitted, surrendered, yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us today. Thank you for that ministry of the Holy Spirit in this place we've experienced over these 20 years, 21 years. God, how we've seen you move time and again in the hearts and lives of people, convicting them of their need of Christ to be saved, convicting of need to change their life, convicting of various things at various times. We know that's the power of your Holy Spirit, and we pray for that once again today. Help me, Lord. Help me to be the messenger boy. This is the message that you gave. Help me to be used of you, to get out of the way and let you do what you want to do and need to do. Speak to hearts here today. Save that one or ones that are here today and have no assurance that when they die, they're going to heaven. Help them today to realize that they can be saved, they can have their sins forgiven, if they'll simply come to Christ for salvation. And then I pray for every saved person. Oh, our hearts would be yielded to you. As you speak to us, that we would be willing to yield. Again, we ask for your help and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ. This past Monday, our country celebrated a Memorial Day holiday. We had a great picnic, had great weather, great food, great fellowship, and we enjoyed the day. But the day was not all about picnics and fellowship and that kind of thing. The Memorial Day holiday is a day set aside to remember those who served and those who are serving in the American military. You may not be aware of this, but this past month, the month of May, had been designated Military Appreciation Month. Again, the purpose is that we give rightful honor and thanks to those who have and who are currently defending America in our armed forces. It's altogether fitting and proper for our country as a whole to take the time to make the effort to honor our servicemen. These are the brave and the sacrificial individuals who have risen to the occasion and given themselves to the cause of freedom. For many, the price was very high. Their very lives. Others were wounded, maimed. Some have served in hostile countries. Some in isolated outposts all over the world. But all, one way or another, had to endure the hardness of being soldiers for this great country. You know, the fact is, I thought I'd preach this message last week. God had different ideas, and so I always want him to have his way. But he's given me liberty to preach it this week. Our minds have been set this week on the military and good soldiers and things of that nature. And in our text for today, Paul the Apostle writes what we believe to be his final epistle. History and tradition tells us Paul will soon be executed in Rome shortly after he writes this. In the verses we have before us, Paul seizes on the metaphor, if you will, of a soldier in an army in order to challenge Timothy and really to challenge believers all down through the ages. As Paul writes here, he likens believers to soldiers in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he admonishes Timothy and again all believers that as soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ, we must be good soldiers. Now we all know that in any army, there are going to be good soldiers and not so good soldiers. Some will serve with honor and commitment. Others will muddle through, cutting every corner possible. Not very honorable. This morning, we all must recognize our responsibility, our call, if you will, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you how we can be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. You know, in order to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, it requires an enlistment. Hello. It requires an enlistment. You see, the army of Jesus Christ is an exclusive army. By this is meant not everyone is in the army of Jesus Christ. Paul's writing to Timothy, a born-again, saved believer in Jesus Christ. And as he writes, he's indicating all who will likewise come to Christ can be soldiers in Christ's army or will be soldiers in Christ's army. That's what his army is made up of. The army of Jesus Christ is made up only of those who have come to Christ for salvation. Now, it's an exclusive army. You can't be in it unless you're saved. Christ's army is also, watch this, an enlisted army. The army of Jesus Christ is made up entirely of those who have chosen to enlist in that army. You see, in Christ's army, there is no draft. How many of you remember the draft? All right, how many of you don't know anything about the draft? Our young people. Way back in the old ages, the dark ages, when many of us lived when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, America had what they called the draft. When a young man, only young men, reached 18 years of age, they had to go down to the Selective Service Building and sign up. You had to give them your name and address and birthday and all your information. And they put you on the roll. And when the Army needed people, they would go to the roll and they would draft you. What that meant was they would send you a nice letter of salutation that you have been chosen to serve in the Army of the United States. And you will report to such and such a place on such and such a date. You didn't have a choice. They didn't say we'd like you to. They said you will. You've been drafted. Whether you want to be a part of the army or don't want to be a part of the army, you're a part of the army. But you see, Jesus' army isn't like that. By the way, our army now isn't like that either. They've done away with the draft. They haven't drafted people for years. Now, if you want to be in the military of the United States, you must enlist. And what that means is you must willingly choose to go and sign up. Now, when a person enlists in something, what they're saying is, I'm willing to join the cause of whatever that thing is. Those in Christ's army have willingly chosen to be a part of his army. They enlisted when they got saved. So, listen up. You might not have understood this or recognized this, but if you're a saved, born-again believer, you are in the army. Not the army of the United States of America. You're in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't remember signing up for that. When you accepted him, you were automatically enlisting in the army of Jesus Christ. So now you are a soldier. His army is made up of those who enlisted when they got saved. And here's when you enlisted. When you came to that place in your life where you realized you're a sinner before the Almighty God, the righteous and holy God, the only God. You realized I have sinned against God and admitted it. The Bible says for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Some people don't want to admit it. Some people don't want to face it. But the fact is, we're all sinners. And we have to be willing to own up to that. And because we're sinners, now we need to be saved. See, sinners are destined for hell. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. That's never being able to be with God eternally. That's the penalty we owe for our sin. We understand we're sinners. Listen, in order to enlist in Christ's army, number one, you have to understand you're a sinner. Number two, understand there's a penalty to be paid. But then we understand the Bible teaches us that God loved us so much, he sent Jesus to pay our penalty. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God made a way for our sin to be dealt with, but it's not for us to deal with it. Jesus took it on him when he went to that cross of Calvary and he died there and shed his blood. The Bible says he paid for the sins of the world. That means, watch this, that means we're all sinners, we all deserve hell, but God made a way for every one of us to go to heaven. And that way is through Jesus Christ. It's not through my good works. It's not through anything I do. It's not through religion. It's not. No. It all is based upon what he did on Calvary's cross. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, if you're in the Lord's army, it means you came to that realization one day in your heart, yeah, I'm a sinner. You admitted it. And you came to that place and realized, I believe what the Bible says, I'm headed for hell. I'm a sinner. I've sinned against God. I owe the penalty. I'm guilty. God says, because I'm guilty, I'm headed for hell. But you also came to that place where you said, but I believe God, what he said in his word, that he sent Jesus to die for me. And he promised if I'd call upon Jesus and open my heart to him, I would be saved. And if you're in Jesus' army, it means you came to that place where one day you recognized that, you admitted that, and you opened your heart to Jesus Christ. You responded to that. You were willing to get on your face before God and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. You were willing to kneel somewhere or sit somewhere and open your heart to Jesus Christ or stand somewhere. It doesn't matter what your posture was. It matters what your heart was. And you came to that place where you said, yes, I want Jesus. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. A promise that Jesus stands at the door to your heart and knocks and wants to save you. That's why he went to that cross, so he could save you. And he's at the door to your heart and he wants to save you, but he will not force himself. See, we can't be drafted into Jesus' army. We have to come to that place where we say, I want to sign up. I want to be in his army. And give ourselves willingly to being a part of his army. I did that way back in 1974. I just realized yesterday, that's 40 years ago. That's a long. I must have been a kid when I got saved. I don't know. I wish I was. I was 25 years old. By the way, being saved isn't just for children. Huh? I was 25 years old. Some of you were older than that when you got saved. But see, I remember that day, and that's the day I enlisted in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been his soldier ever since. Whether I wanted to be or didn't want to be, I enlisted. Now I'm in. Hello. You know, If you research the American military, I'll say a little more about this later. Once you sign and say, I want in, you're in. Okay? We got that understanding. We don't change our mind. You're in. So we understand this. Being a good soldier of Jesus Christ requires an enlistment. And if you've never enlisted in His army, friend, you're on your way to hell. You can't be a part of Jesus Christ's army. You have not accepted the gift. And you need to today. You need to come to that place where you say, hey, I need to enlist in the army. I need to give myself to Jesus Christ. So to be a good soldier now requires an enlistment. Number two, it requires a surrender. Now, the words soldier and surrender don't really go well together. But in this case, absolutely necessary. In the latter part of this verse, it says, no man that warreth entangled, verse 4, entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, the wording there is interesting. Chosen there, you know, the Calvinist likes to jump on that. But really all that's referring to is having his having made those who believe as a part of his army. And now a good soldier, we see here, is one who will seek to please and to serve his commander. And see, that requires a surrender. What do you mean, a surrender? Well, in order to do that, to please his commander, a good soldier has to surrender his will. He has to yield his will to the will of his commander. Yeah? Where's Charlie? I lost Charlie. Is he over at Butte-de-Mille? He must be in Butte-de-Mille. You were in the military. In the Marine Corps. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Amen. Never get out, right? Always a Marine. Your commanding officer, when you joined the Marines, did you go in and tell them, now, fellas, I'm here, and here's what I'd like to do, and here's where I'd like to go, and here's... No. You had to go and submit your will to them, didn't you? He had to go and present himself before them saying, sir, reporting for duty. What that meant was, whatever you have for me to do, I must submit my will to you. A good soldier does that. He submits his will to his commanding officer. Now the commander's will is now going to be his will. What he wants, what he feels, what he thinks has to be surrendered and become unimportant. When you're a soldier, your will don't matter. Whether you like it or don't like it, whether you want to or don't want it, that don't matter. What matters is, what did the commander say? That's what I must do. I must submit myself to his will if I'm going to be a good soldier. You know, the commander comes along and he says, stand guard duty. And you go out there and you're on guard duty for a couple hours and you get tired and your favorite television show's on and all. And you say, I'm going to go watch TV. I wouldn't call you a good soldier. The sergeant says, you got duty on Friday night. Oh, but I had a date Friday night. I can't do duty. That's not how it works. He says, you got a duty Friday night. Yes, sir. His will. My will's not important. He's important. And I want to be a good soldier. The commander's orders must be obeyed. Not only do I submit my will, but I obey when he speaks. You know, when he says, hey, let's march, let's double time. You know, say, well, I don't know if I feel like it right now. When a commander says, we're going this direction, east or northeast or whatever, and you say, well, I don't know about that. I think maybe we ought to go. No, 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 that's not what a good soldier does. A good soldier obeys the commander. Whatever he says, that's what I do. No room for disagreement, no room for delay, and no room for default. Commander says, we're going on a march. Now, I'm kind of busy right now. Can't we do it later? That don't happen. Not for a good soldier. We're going on a march right now, and there you are. Good soldiers surrender their will. Good soldiers obey their commander. And you know, a good soldier of Jesus Christ is going to seek to please Christ. That's what that verse says. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. How do I please him? By surrendering my will. Lord, it's not what I want, it's what you want. Believers are here to do the will of Christ. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, we're created unto good works, and we should walk in them. And then we should obey his commands. We should have a willing obedience to whatever he says. You know, the reality is this. We ought to be happy to obey his commands. When he gives us a command in his word, we ought to be happy to say, I want to please you, I'll do it. When he gives us a command that we shouldn't do something, I want to please you, I'm not going to do that. Hello? See, the Bible says that we grieve him. Do you understand what the word grieve means? To make sad, to sadden, to hurt. We grieve our Savior when he gives us a command and we refuse to obey. By the way, in the military, you might get shot for that. Too often, we as believers, we do grieve him. We disagree with what he has to say, or we delay, and when he says do something, or we just default, we just don't do it. How do you think that makes him feel? There must be an enlistment, a surrender, and then it requires a dedication to the task. A good soldier dedicates himself to the cause. I remember David back then when he was going to fight Goliath. Remember that? What did he say to his brother? Is there not a cause? The cause was the victory for Israel. The cause was Almighty God's name being defended. Is there not a cause? Listen. A good soldier will dedicate himself to the cause of the army he joins. Our military man's cause, when a man joins our military, is the protection of America and to do that which he is called upon to do for America. That's his cause. And when he signs his name and says, I'm enlisting, he is dedicating himself to that cause. That means he's focused on that cause. He keeps it before his eyes all the time. It's on his heart all the time. It's on his mind all the time. This is the cause that I enlisted in. By the way, he's a soldier 24 hours a day. Huh? The cause is on his heart 24 hours a day. And he keeps himself ready at all times. He keeps himself fit for battle. He keeps himself alert. He keeps himself prepared. He has physical exercise always, and mental work where he's always learning. He's practiced with his weapons. He's gone to the rifle range and the shooting range. He's had the physical training and all. And he's ready at all times. He keeps himself because there's a cause. A good soldier of Christ is going to be dedicated to the task, just like a soldier in the army. See, we're in a war. We don't like to think about that. We don't like to live like that. Let me tell you, we're in a war. And right now, our country's losing the war. I'm not talking about Afghanistan. I'm not talking about Taliban. I'm talking about Satan. I'm talking about what he's doing in our country. I'm talking about the digression and walking away from God and turning our back on everything moral and right. We're in a war. And Christians sit on their blessed assurance and let the devil have victory after victory. Listen, friend, we better be soldiers in this battle and realize there's a cause. I'm convinced the only hope of America is God's people getting on their face and begging God for a Holy Spirit revival. That's the only hope we have. Politicians aren't going to do it. Good night, you vote for one, he's on your side, and next thing he turns his back on you. Dent this week, if you know the name. He was on our side. He was a conservative. We were behind him. And all of a sudden, after the primaries are over, now he's for gay marriage. Listen, friend, the only hope is for God's people to realize there's a cause. We better straighten up. We better get on our face before God. We better start taking this thing seriously because we're in a war. And we're losing the war. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, go back there for just a minute. You talk about a man who knew about the warfare, and he writes about it. You know, in reality, this ought to send chills up and down our spine. He says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the war we're fighting. That's the cause. How many Christians are in the battle? Oh, we need to be dedicated to the cause. We need to focus on the cause, fighting the spiritual battle against Satan, setting the captives free. There's lost souls all around this world, and he's holding in his clutches. The only hope of them being set free is the gospel message getting to them, and we're supposed to be delivering it. And we need to stay ready and prepared, strengthened spiritually, strong in our scriptural study, prepared with our weapon, the Word of God. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. Too many Christian soldiers are unprepared. Too many Christian soldiers are not focused on the battle. Too many of his soldiers are not sharp, fit, and ready. But we find them lazy, lethargic, and lukewarm at best. What kind of an army is that? Being good soldiers requires an enlistment, requires a surrender, requires a dedication to the task, and then it requires an undeniable identification. Good soldier. Listen, a good soldier wants to be identified with his army. You get in a group of men, you know, and you got a guy who was in the Army, and a guy who was in the Marines, a guy who was in the Navy, and a guy who was in the other thing. What was it? Air Force. Just kidding you. And, you know, they start chiding back and forth about their uniforms and all that. But, you know, every one of them took pride in that uniform they wore. I got to tell you, I don't know that any of them are as sharp. I mean, just sharp. It's those Marine dress blues. How many of you have seen the Marine dress blues? I mean, I'm not demeaning the other uniforms. They stand for America, etc. But that Marine dress blue, I don't know whoever designed that. But wow. And see, any Marine worth his salt is proud to wear those colors. They'll fight you over that. He wants to wear the uniform. Why? He wants to be identified with his army. You know, Paul said something over in Romans chapter 1 first, in verse 16. He said, "For watch this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then he says this over in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. For whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Listen, friend, if I'm not ashamed of being a part of the army of Jesus Christ, I'm going to proudly wear the uniform of a soldier of Jesus Christ. See? A soldier, a good soldier, proudly wears his uniform because he knows what it symbolizes, what it stands for. He knows it connects him with a cause. He also knows wearing that uniform requires conformity. Conforming to his commander, conforming to looking like he's supposed to look. And then a good soldier upholds the honorable name of the army that he's in. He lives so as not to shame or dishonor his cause. The honor, the military, each one has their honor code. And see, when somebody steps outside that honor code, they become an embarrassment to that branch. How many times have we heard about men in the military who stepped out the code outside that code of honor and brought dishonor? Huh? Now, a good soldier of Jesus Christ wants to be identified with him and with his army. How do we do that? By wearing the uniform. We need to look the part. In our outward appearance, how we dress, modestly, appropriately, avoiding the worldly fads of haircuts and piercings and what the world says you need to do that's going to pass away. We need to look different. I'm not talking Amish different. I'm not making fun of the Amish. But I'm talking about, you know, when you get around an Amishman, you notice he's different. Huh? You get around a Mennonite, you notice they're different. Why? They look different. Why do they look different? They're wearing the uniform of what they believe. Why can't we wear the uniform of what we believe? Why can't we quit dressing like the world and talking like the world, looking like the world, giving the appearance of being of the world rather than being of the army of Jesus Christ? I heard one time about a soldier in the Civil War. They said this soldier wore a blue Union Army jacket and gray Confederate pants. Yeah, you don't know where he stood. That's how a lot of Christians are. Hello. Oh, you look a little bit Christian, but then when you're around the world, you look a lot like the world. Listen, friend, a good soldier wears his uniform at all times and respects that uniform at all times because he wants to be identified with his army. We shouldn't be ashamed. Shouldn't be ashamed to look like a Christian. Shouldn't be ashamed to act like a Christian. And then we need to uphold the honorable name of Christian. Living so that we don't bring dishonor to the name. Go over there to 2 Timothy, just a page maybe over in your Bible, it is in mine. Same chapter. Chapter 2. Something Paul wrote a little later in the chapter. Watch this. Verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. My goodness, Paul reveals, he's giving us a picture of Christianity. Listen, in God's house, there are vessels unto honor, vessels unto dishonor. Which are you? Some are clean and able to be used, and some are vessels that honor God with their life and their testimony. Some dishonor Him by their life, by their testimony. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, as I said, wants to be identified. too many believers are vessels unto dishonor. Finally, a good soldier requires a lifelong commitment. I asked Brother Stan if he was a Marine. You said you are a Marine. Anytime I've ever talked to a man that's been in the Marine Corps, that's the response you get. I never was, I am. See, they made a lifelong commitment. Whether they're active duty or not active duty, they made a commitment. I'm joining this, and this is going to be something I don't back away from. This is going to be something I do the rest of my life. Not that I serve actively, but in my mind, in my heart, this is what I'm going to be. You know, in the human armies, we're pretty aware. They usually have limited tours of duty. Some, I don't know if they have 2 years anymore or not. They used to have a 2-year tour, then a 4-year tour, a 6-year tour. When you were done your 4 or your 6, they asked you to sign up again. And you know, you could stay in life for 20 years, 25, 30 years if you wanted to. Or you could retire after 20 years. I did notice this, that sometimes during time of war, all enlistments were extended. In other words, World War II, some of those men over in Europe, during the drive up through Europe, their commitment was far past, but they weren't going home. War was still on. You can't go home till the war's over. Enlisting in Christ's army is a lifelong commitment. See, in the army, you can sign up for 4 years and get out. When you enlist in Christ's army, it's eternal. See, it's not even just till you die. It's forever and ever and ever. We're His. He promised us eternal life. He promised us eternity in heaven with Him. There's no limited service in Christ's army. Once a person joins, it's forever. Christ's soldiers are to be committed to the fight until the war is over. Paul talks about over there in chapter 2, faithful men. We need to be committed to the cause. Not just for today, not just for a few years. See, here's what I find. Too many Christians fail to be committed to Christ for the life. Here's what I find. I thought about this. How many soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ have we personally seen go AWOL? How many of you know what that means? Absent without leave. In other words, they've abandoned their post. Think about this. When a soldier abandons his post, he's still a soldier. He's just an unfaithful soldier. We have so many Christians who have abandoned their post. They're still saved. They're still going to heaven when they die. But they've abandoned their post. They've bailed out on God. They've run off somewhere to hide somewhere. Rather than serve. That's not a lifelong commitment. We need to be committed to the cause, committed to Him. Some take early retirement. I'm not against retirement. But you never retire from God's service. We're in God's army, eternally. That means you're actively serving here. This is your post. This is your duty station. You are actively serving here until He calls you to your next station, which is home. There's no retirement for the Christian in the work of the Lord. I've seen, listen, and it's not just older people that retire. I've seen Christians who serve a few years, you know, and they teach Sunday school or run a bus route or whatever they do for the Lord for a few years, and then they get to a place, they say, well, I've done my part, let the next guy take over. And they sit down. They'll go to church, they'll put their tithe in, but that's it. They're busy about all their other things now. I gave God my time. I paid. Hey, how about this one I've heard? I paid my dues. No, friend. There's no retirement in God's work. If you sat down on God and you're not actively serving the Lord, you're AWOL. You need to get back in the fight. Some take early retirement. And you know, this is sad. Some get weary and quit. Some get burned out. I've had friends in ministry who got burned out. I've seen Christians get burned out. And they get weary. And you know, serving the Lord in the army. Now, don't forget what Paul said here. He said, endure hardness. Being a soldier isn't always, pleasurable. There's a lot of suffering and sacrifice to soldiering. There's a lot of rough, tough things to soldiering. As believers, we have to learn to endure those things. And sometimes people get burnt by Christians, and sometimes they labor and it seems like they're not making progress with people, or the church isn't growing, or bus routes not doing, or Sunday school class isn't working, and they get weary and well-doing and they quit. Paul says over in Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. Turn back there just a few pages. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That means don't quit. Don't quit. Preacher, you ever feel like quitting? Every Monday morning. I've heard preachers say, and I've heard this from preachers' mouths, bless God, I carry my resignation in my pocket every Sunday when I preach. How do you just quit? Church isn't growing. Bus routes aren't growing. Money's tight. General fund's in the red. What do? Just quit? Hey, we're in a war. What do? Just quit? Abandon our post? Leave East unto the devil? No. We've got to endure hardness. We've got to step up. We've got to say, hey, I'm a soldier in this army. I enlisted, and I'm in the fight, and I am going to fight. I'm not letting the devil have it without a fight. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Thank God for our soldiers. Thank God for the price that's been paid. But listen, there's another war going on. A spiritual war. And we desperately, desperately, desperately need some good soldiers. We got a lot of playboy soldiers. We got a lot of sorry soldiers. We need some folks that say, I want to be a good soldier. Will you bow your heads for just a minute? Good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Question number one is, are you a soldier of Jesus Christ?